Who I am, 'cause your path days. Hallelujah. Oh, my days. Hallelujah.
You know, I just want to encourage you this morning. I know that many of us are going through tough times, but we need to remember that our God reigns. We need to remember that He hasn't forgotten us. We need to remember that His promises are true and they're yes and amen. And for many of you here, you've lost your vision and you said, Lord, I don't know where I am, but the Lord says, I'm reigning in your life and I'm watching over you, and I want us to sing that chorus again and fix our eyes upon Him and not the problems, and speak out of our mouth that our God reigns. My God reigns. My God reigns. The enemy hates it. He hates it when we give God the praise and all the glory. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. Some of you might be grieving, but your God reigns and He has you in the palm of His hands. So let's sing that again to Him this morning and declare that my God reigns. Let's sing that, my God reigns.
Addition to that, forever, all my days. That is so huge. Forever, all my days, God reigns forever. It's He's not going to get knocked off. Forever, all my days.
Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all.
and it is well with me.
Feel like God is saying, he says, I am not a God of temporary fixes, but I want to live through you and in you all the time.
I want you to know me in such a way that when trouble comes, you're not looking at the oh, it's my finances, oh, it's my family, oh, it's this, oh, it's that, but you're looking at me to be all sufficient for you. I'm a God that wants to not just visit, but I want to make my home in you all the time. But many times you close the doors of your house. You close the doors of those rooms that you don't think I can handle. But if you open up to me today, let me heal your broken heart. Let me bring you out of those places that seem so dark, and I will give you new vision. And I will cause whatever has caused you pain, I will heal it. But I'm not just your healer. I'm not just your provider. I'm your everything. So if you will cry out to me to walk in the fullness in your life, you will see a change greater than you've ever asked for.
Revelations 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads, and thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." We should never take for granted the privilege and the honor to worship God, to come together, to join the heavenly chorus right now. It's open to us. Greatest gift is we were created to worship. To worship Him, to see Him high and lifted up. To see Him high and lifted up with one heart, and one voice. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
With all creation I sing praise to the
Before we get started today, I do want to tell you about this Englishman, this Irishman, and this Scotsman. Oh, yeah. I thought this would apply to you guys since they came from your area. And so they're going to a funeral of a mutual friend, a friend that they all cared for very much. And when they went to this funeral, when they go to the funeral, they go in there, and the Englishman is like, they're kind of crying, they're kind of feeling bad. And they said, I just want to do something to show my respect and honor for this man and his life. And so he takes out of his wallet and he puts $100 into the hand of the deceased. Just puts it in the coffin, right in the hand. And just to let you know how much I care about you. And he turns around. The Irishman says, well, you know what? I care for him too. I am very, very, I care for him just as much as the Englishman does. Matter of fact, I'm going to show him my appreciation. He pulls out his wallet and he puts two $100 bills in his hand. Well, the Scotsman sits back there and kind of touches his chin for a second, takes a look and says, well, I care about him as much as either of you. So he pulls out his checkbook. He writes a check for $500. He puts it into the hand of the deceased, and then he takes the $300 as change. That probably makes more sense if you're from the islands, right? From the British Isles there. Oh, well, we have an amazing topic today, a topic, I guess, that is dear to my heart, being a father, but we have a topic called fatherhood crisis. And I want to let you know that there is a crisis all around us in fathers right now. And it's important for us to know that this crisis exists. I mean, this is changing our society. It's changing what God is doing in our society, what God can do in our society based upon what God designed for society to be, the basic building blocks. And when you tack fatherhood, you destroy the basic building block of fatherhood, of family, of society. And you start having real issues and problems. And as you look around you and you look at all the problems facing the society right now, all the issues, all the violence, all the things that are taking place, it seems to be escalating and escalating. At the same time, there's a crisis of fathers and those that are willing to stand up and be fathers. As a matter of fact, there's a study right now that shows that there are 19.7 million fatherless children in this country right now that do not have an active father in their life. And that really takes a toll on the children themselves, because they were designed to have a father in their life. And some of it is just due to the fact that there's accidents and there's widows. Some of it is people who aren't willing to stand up and be the father that they're called to be. There's so many different reasons. But almost 20 million children are being raised right now in this country without an active father in their life. There's some statistics that are shown throughout this. It shows that approximately 30% of American children are being raised in a fatherless home. That represents 30%. In some groups, that figures over double that. 68% some subgroups that don't have fathers in their lives. And there's consequences to this. Study after study has shown that fatherless children are at dramatically greater risk of drug, alcohol abuse, a mental illness, suicide, poor education performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Over half of all children living with a single mother are living in poverty, a rate 5 to 6 times that of kids that are living with both parents. That's nothing against the mothers, but sometimes, you know, it was meant to be a two-person task to raise children, a father and a mother. And when you're left with only one, it becomes a lot more difficult. Children abuses are significantly more likely to occur in single parent homes than intact families. Single parent teens are 7 times more likely to become pregnant, 7 times than those that have both parents in home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, according to the U.S. Bureau of Census. 63%. I don't know if you know this, but 70% of all suicides are male, not female. people, especially young men right now, are having a real difficulty finding their place in life and society. 72% of adolescent murderers grew up without fathers. People that end up murdering others didn't have a father figure in their life. 71% of all high school dropouts come from a fatherless homes, according to the National Principals Association report on the state of high schools. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes, according to the report in Criminal Justice and Behavior. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. So as we see this number of fatherless homes increase over time, we're seeing the results in the society around us. You see the homeless problem. And we're all sitting there going, how do we fix this problem? You can fix the symptom or you can fix the cause. Right now, marriage is being redefined in our society. And the family unit's being reconstructed, as it were, within certain groups within our society. And we're seeing the detriments of this in the aftermath of this all around us. We see so much more violence now, and we see so many more people resorting to violence than we've seen in the past. And so we're sitting there looking at all of this, and we're saying, what can we do? In the face of all of this, what are we able to do, and how are we able to show people the importance of this issue? And I want to tell you, each and every person here today has a place in that. And the first thing we can do is make sure that we understand God's plan for family, what it is. Let's take a look at Genesis 1, 27 through 28. It says this. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on earth. In Genesis 2:24, we see the plan for how that was going to occur. In Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, that they become one flesh. This was God's plan. God's plan was that each family would have a mother and a father and children, that they would have each part in that, that would be contributing to the wholeness of the family, that the father would be the provider and the protector, that the mother would be the glue that holds the family together. As a matter of fact, the word father, Ab, in Hebrew means, if you look at the letters, it means the strength of the house. The strength of the house. And the mother was the glue of the house. She held the family together. She held and brought stability and brought things. While the father was out hunting or in the fields or working for someone, there was this dual set of parents that was brought into this unity where they worked together to provide a stable home for their children. And now as we learn to see the world redefining marriage and redefining everything, we're seeing that unit is under attack. It's no longer considered to be important by many, but it's so important. And what's important also to understand is that you don't have to have biological children to be a father. That's so important for you men out there that haven't had children for whatever reason. It's so important for you to realize that you have an opportunity to be a father every day. There are many people that text me today thanking me for being their spiritual father. And I'm blessed to be that. I'm so honored to be that. But each of you can be the same. To some, to many, whatever God puts in your life. Amen? Matter of fact, Paul said it this way. He said it in 1 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul related to Timothy, which was not his child. Paul was never married. Paul related to Timothy as his child. He fathered Timothy in the faith. And each of you have the ability to have that as well. So even though I'm a father to children, I have three children, I have many, many children beyond that. And I love each and every one with all my heart. See, what we need is more examples of fathers in our society right now. I would say the same about mothers, but it's not Mother's Day. It's Father's Day. So what we need is we need men to stand up and be who they were called to be. And then you know what? It's not easy. And I'll tell you something, men. This is the truth. Women want you to stand up and be a healthy, masculine presence. Amen? They want you to do that. They want you to stand up and be who you were called to be. And you know what? You don't have to sit there and go, well, I've just... All you have to do is be there and do the right things. Amen? Yes. Now, every father, including me, we've made many, many mistakes. There's no doubt. My kids could probably list out for you if they were here. Thank God they're not right now because they're in different parts of the country. My daughter went out to Alabama and my wife's down in Guatemala, so I can say anything I want right now and you all know. That's being recorded. You can ask my wife later. But I've made a number of mistakes. I'm sure I've gotten angry when I didn't need to be angry. I'm sure I've gotten frustrated when I didn't need to get frustrated. You know what I'm saying? Everyone makes mistakes. But the great thing about life is we, as long as we're taking breath, we have another chance to do it right. Amen? And so I want you guys to know that you have a chance to do it right. Everyone blows it once in a while, but do things right. God intends you to be an amazing example, not only to your children, but to other children everywhere. My daughters used to bring home their friends to my house, and my son, I'd adopt them all. They were all my children. As soon as they walked through that door, they were mine. And I would just love on them, and I would treat them as I treated my own daughters. We had a barbecue, they were invited over, you know. Whatever I could do to extend, and I did it naturally. I didn't even do it trying to do it, you know. I just wanted to be that good father for them, as good as I could be, the best father that I could be. I wanted to be for them because that was so important for me. And I want you to know in your heart that you can be a father too. You just have to care for people. You have to want to support people. You want to have to help people. Matter of fact, probably the greatest example of fatherhood is our Father in heaven. Amen? And our Father in heaven, when I think about the attributes, I think about these things. Your Father in heaven will never leave you. He'll never leave you. I will never leave my children. See what I'm saying? I will always be their father up until the day that I leave this earth. And even then, I'll always be there in spirit, I'm sure. Our Father in heaven will protect you and not hurt you. That's so important. So many people have been hurt by their fathers, and I'm very, very aware of that. But I want you to know that even though there are fathers out there that have hurt their children, hurt their families, sometimes it's just out of brokenness. It's what they were going through in their life. Have grace towards them, have forgiveness towards them, and still receive the good parts. Now, my wife, who's not here, she had a very, very tough relationship with her father. Her father left them just after they were born. He'd come around, but there was always some, like, mind games and stuff that he would work on the children. And they ended up having kind of a tug-of-war over my wife's twin brother. So she has a twin brother, not identical, obviously, but she has a twin brother. And they would fight over him. They'd buy him bikes and stuff. And she was kind of left out of the thing. You can imagine how that made her feel. She felt unwanted, unloved, unappreciated. And then in the end, 1 year, my wife forgot to send her father a birthday card because he was always moving from area to area. He was very quick to move, and so it was difficult to keep up with him. And when he didn't get a Father's Day card from our birthday card from him, he wrote her out of his will. He was hardly ever there, and so there was this rejection and this orphan spirit that my wife had to overcome, and she had to learn, and she gravitated toward my father.
And my father was just the same as, well, he was just, it was awesome. He just, anyone who walked through the door that was younger, he was just automatically their father. Matter of fact, all the kids in the neighborhood would come to my father for whatever questions or thoughts or things. He was kind of like the center of fatherhood in the neighborhood. And it was really frustrating for me because I was like, hey, wait a minute, he's my father. You go to your own father. They'd come over because my dad took advanced math and he's an engineer. So they'd come over with all their math things to their parents or their mother couldn't handle. And he took care of a lot of children in the neighborhood that didn't have fathers. He was a father to the fatherless. And that blessed my heart so much now. I kind of had PK syndrome with my father a little bit. Third, your father knows what you need. You got to know this. Your father knows what you need, your heavenly father. And your earthly father should also see your needs as much as possible. I try to look to my children's needs. I try to use my experience in life to help predict what they will need in the near future. And I try to help them with that. I try to help them buy houses and to get through life and to get through car breakdowns and stuff like that. I'm there to help them to kind of keep things level and keep things so that it doesn't get overwhelming. You see what I'm saying? To the best of my ability. Using my father as my heavenly father's example, I realized that being a father requires sacrifice. You don't always get your way as a father. You have to give up things. Sometimes, you know, you do have to allow the girl movie on the TV. You know what I mean? Sometimes you do have to do things as a father that isn't necessarily what you want. Sometimes you have to give up that fancier car so you can help your children fix their less fancy car. Amen? Sometimes you have to go out to a meal, and instead of saving that money for something else, you have to pay for their meal and the meal. And it's a pleasure and an honor to do so, but you are constantly sacrificing. That's the nature of a father, is to sacrifice for his children. Sometimes I have to meet with spiritual children, and I'd rather do something for the church, but I have to meet with them because they're calling on me. And so those are the things that we lay down to be a father. Mothers do as well, don't get me wrong. Next, a father takes great delight in you. I delight in my children. No, not one of my children is perfect. They're not here now, so I can say this. But not one of them is perfect, but neither am I. But I delight in them. I delight in them for who they are. I delight in them for just being them. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to earn my love. I delight in my children, and our Heavenly Father delights in us. Amen? So what I want you to do is understand, if your father wasn't like this, I want you to receive this from your Heavenly Father and for the other fathers that we have in the community here. We have a lot of great fathers here. Not all of them had children biologically, but they all have that spirit of fatherhood. Amen? Sometimes we have to get from our community what we never got from our home. Amen? And God will use people in this audience to help father others. Amen? And when I say that, I mean being a father, okay? Your father takes, yep, see, I knew someone's going to go there. Okay. And then lastly, your father does not love you because of your achievements. I remember when I was younger, I was like, oh, this child's going to be a doctor. This child's going to be this or that or that. None of them turned out what I thought they were going to be, but they all turned out to have successful, full lives. And that means everything to me. It's not about whether they met my standard or some level that I set up for them. What mattered to me was they found their own way in a way that brought them peace and fulfillment, and in Christ. And all three of my children are believers in Christ, and I'm so blessed by that. So what can we do about this crisis that's invading our society? And let me say this also so that you understand that this crisis is an attack from the enemy. If he can destroy the family unit, he can destroy society. That's why it's so important to keep the family unit strong. Amen? Now, whether you've gone through a divorce or you're separated or whatever, I don't want you to feel guilty. I want you to become the best father you can. If you're separated from your wife, then you be as involved in your children as you can be involved. Amen? You sit there and make time for them all the time. If they have phones, text them once in a while. Just let them know that you're thinking about them, that they're valuable. We, as children of our fathers, we need their approval. We need their acceptance. We need their love to know that we're doing it. Every person in here, every man in here at some point needed somebody to believe in them. Amen? And your father should be the one who believes in you. And he shouldn't put that value of achievement as being the goal, the reason for his love. But his love and his acceptance of you should be based on you and you alone. Amen? Finally, what can we do about this crisis? And I'm going to ask for the ushers to get the gifts that we have for the fathers right now, please. First thing we can do is honor and promote good fathers. I want to tell you something. As society moves away from valuing the God-given design family unit, we need to do all the more to honor it, amen, and to uplift it, that value of fatherhood. And so we have some gifts we're getting for some of the men to honor you and your fatherhood. Now listen, I'm making a challenge to you men who aren't biological fathers. I want you to put it in your heart that you're going to be a father, even if you're not a biological father, amen? That you're going to commit to that father image, just like Paul committed to it to Timothy, that wasn't his biological son. I want you to be a father to people that are around you. You know, sometimes just looking at a kid and saying, man, you're awesome, you're amazing, can be all that that child needs to make it to that next level. Amen? Just maybe turning around. There's a lot of women in here that have children who aren't married right now. Maybe their fathers aren't involved in their lives. And if you can just be there for them a little bit, and just when you're at the picnic, just be involved a little bit. Say hi to the kids. Tell them, hey, man, you're an awesome kid. You know what I'm saying? Encourage them in their walk in life. They need that fatherly encouragement in their life. Now, what I'm going to do right now, just so that we can honor the fathers, I want to read this scripture. It says this, and this is a part of the Ten Commandments. And you know it well, Exodus 20:12, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. God gives us length of days for honoring our fathers, even when they're imperfect, even when they abused us, even when they hurt us. You don't have to let them back in to do that, but you can still honor them. So what I'm going to do right now to honor the fathers is ask all the fathers to stand up with me, please. Every father in the room, biological or willing to make the commitment to be a spiritual father to someone else. Please stand up in the room. Please stand up, okay? Ushers, would you please pass out the gifts that we have for them as we honor the fathers in our presence? So there's two gifts. There's a flashlight or there's a measuring tape. The flashlight's to see in dark places, amen? Amen? That's what it's for? And the measuring tape is to make sure that you realize that you're not measured by your achievement, but by your existence. Amen? So as they come around, just go ahead and receive one. When we receive one, please be seated. But let's give a warm thanks to all the fathers in our presence here. Thank you for being fathers. Go ahead and be seated. And, oh, wait a minute. Stand up until you get your present. I'm sorry. Please stand up until you get them. Brother, you can just dump those in the bag. I think that'd be easier. Well, okay. If you want a flashlight instead of a tape measure, please take the, just switch it out after the service. I just put them in the bag and let them choose. Hello? There you go. Now, you guys just pick whatever you want. There's flashlights in there. I can always use an additional flashlight. It's kind of my way, right? I'm always scrambling looking for a flashlight in the car somewhere. But sometimes a tape measure. I asked one guy in here, he's a craftsman. I asked him what he'd pay. He said, I'd take the measuring tape every time. I will tell you the measuring tapes were a little more expensive than the flashlights. I'll just say that. Okay, just saying that. And I'm proud of every one of you that stood up and willing to be a father, even if you're not a natural organic father. You are an amazing person for taking on that challenge to be a father in someone's life. Amen? I'm talking to you out there. You don't get a flashlight or a measuring tape. Sorry about that, because you weren't here today. But I want to tell you, if you're there right now and you're willing to take this, at the end of this sermon, we're going to say a prayer of commitment to being a father in our community, a father to our children if we have them, a father to other children, and just being that fatherly presence that we need. We need fatherhood to stand up and be counted. Please be careful with the measuring tapes. I know some of you guys can't help but start measuring everything, but okay, secondly, as we continue to pass those out, to be a father to the fatherless. In Psalms 68:5, it says this: the father of the fatherless, the protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. You know, God is a father to the fatherless. I love that. I love being a father to the fatherless. Amen. And we can be that if we desire to be that. God will use us in that capacity. Amen. To help those around us. Our society needs fathers. And we need people willing to be fathers. Amen? Amen. And so God's a father to the fatherless. And guess who he uses to be that human touch? He uses you and you and you and you and you and you and me. We're the ones that go around and see these fatherless children, and we become fathers to them. When you're out working on your cars, when you're out doing something, one of the neighborhood kids comes up and asks you, what are you doing? Take a moment, say, hey, well, come here, take a look. I'll show you what I'm doing. And be a father to that child, amen? To that teenager. And even young men need fathers, amen? So you just need to be an example. Number three, support and encourage the single and widow women in your life. Be there to help the fatherless and the orphan. Be there to support them. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep keep oneself unstained from the world. To be that father figure, that righteous follower of God, is such an important example unto the kids and to the families around you. Fourthly, fathers love your wives. And one of the things I think is so important for fathers to do is to be an example of that love to their wives. And we have this quote from Henry Ward Beecher. Let's go ahead and put that up. The most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Now, even if you're separated, even if you're divorced, you show honor and respect to the children's mother. Amen? And you show them that respect and honor so that your kids can learn that from you as an example. So there are many people out there who are divorced. There are many people out there who are separated, who their fathers, for whatever reason, are in their life. But fathers, I'm telling you, always respect the mother of your children. So important to example that for your children. And because you honor her, even if you guys don't get along anymore, if you'll honor her and forgive her, you'll be blessed. And your children will be blessed because you do it. Amen? And then lastly, as a father, we need to be the example that God has created us to be. And Dwight L. Moody said it this way. He said, a man ought to live so that everyone knows he's a Christian. And most of all, his family ought to know it. Ought to know. In other words, you know what? You can fool your neighbor, but you can't fool the people you live in the house with. You need to be a real example of a Christian man in the house. Amen? You need to be someone who does Christian things, does the right thing, sets the right example for his children. So important that you do this. It's so, so important that you keep yourself unstained from the world. Keep yourself set apart and be who God's called you to be. At this time, I'm going to ask all the men in this congregation to say a pledge with me, if you will. We're going to say it together. And we're just pledging to be the best father that God would have us be. Amen? So we're going to say it together. You don't have to stand up, but I want you to say it with all your heart. I want you to mean it. I don't care if you have children or not. Pledge to be an example of fatherhood in your community. Amen? Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, Thank you for being the perfect example for me. Let me be a reflection of your fatherhood. A father to the fatherless. And a father to my children. Let me be the father that you desire. I commit right now, everyone, all the men, I commit right now to being the father you've called me to be. I now commit to being a father to the homeless, to the orphans and the fatherless, to help the widows wherever I can. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Praise God. Give yourself a clap. You know, there's so much that we can do on our own, but there's so much we can't do without God. I mean, we can act, we can live life, we can make decisions, but if we're not connected to our Heavenly Father, then we're not being all that we can be. God's exampleship, His love, His Spirit needs to move through our lives so that we can be the person we were meant to be. In order to do that, we have to receive our Heavenly Father. We have to accept God. And for everyone that's out there right now on the internet, watching this on YouTube and Facebook, I want you to know that God loves you. If I could tell you one thing right now, that He loves you just as you are. He's not asking for you to achieve something to earn His love. He loves you just the way you are. But He loves you so much, He doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to help you grow and become the person that you're called to become. So right now, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you have never received your Heavenly Father, if you've never made Jesus your Lord, if you've never taken the step to accept God's love, I want you to do it today. With us, pray with us now. We're going to say a prayer together. Accept Christ into your heart and know the love of God as you've never known it before. Everyone, say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, for strengthening me, and helping me in my time of need. I repent of all my sin, all my wrong thoughts, all my wrong actions, and I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, into my heart today. Help me to be the person I was called to be. I receive now the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His saving power in my life now. Amen. If you said that for the first time or made a significant recommitment to the Lord, I want you, as an act of faith, even out there, even if you're watching this days later, I want you to, at the count of three, to raise your hand and say, "Yes, Lord, I've received you now." I want to tell you, the greatest thing you can ever do is receive Jesus Christ. Changed my life. I was 19. I had no direction. I did not know where I was going. I had taken drugs. I had done all sorts of bad things. But God loved me even though. And when I received Him, I felt this rush of love in my life. I took an act of faith. And I stepped out. I want you to know, if you'll do that, by raising your hand in a moment, it'll show that you meant what you said. It's an act of faith. The count of three, raise your hands high, wherever you are. One, two, three. Raise those hands up. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord, so much. Go ahead and put your hands down. God bless you. Come to church. Don't be alone. Be part of the community. Everyone stand up as we bless you and release you now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for this congregation. Bless them. Let them be the mothers and the fathers that they were called to be, Father. Let them not be just for their own children, but let them be for the orphans and for those in need, Father. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next time.